podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there, you're probably wondering why I've asked you here. Well, it's podcast number 22. Well, it's podcast number 23. Well, it's podcast number 24. I can't remember which one it is, so one of these will go in. Not all three, though. That'd be crazy. Coming up, Paul Bettany, the return of Quizface, your minor emergencies, animal criminals, and a beatboxing priest. You get the same stuff on Newsnight. Get in!
Yes, we are XFM.
Annie Wally!
With Mini. Makes sense. To see why, search Mini Offers.
Let's cross live now, everybody. Live to a caller. Steve, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, confirmed listener Steve. How are you this morning?
Yes, I'm more than good. More than good. You all right?
I'm very well, thank you also. Yeah, but how about Matt? Why don't you ask Matt how he's feeling?
What about you, Matt?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks.
That's good.
Yeah,
good answer. Good answer. How about Phil? Have you asked Phil how he is?
I don't know about Phil. What about you, Phil?
I'm average, but thanks for asking.
He's all right, yeah. Let's hope we can pull this back with Baby Dave. Well, I wonder how Baby Dave is, Steve. Ask him.
Baby Dave, how are you? Baby Dave.
Yeah. I'm all right, Steve. A little depressed after yesterday's Derby Day defeat for Manchester City, but aside from that, I'm okay.
Oh.
Pudding.
Yeah, Steve. That was lovely. And also, the way you said Baby Dave there, Steve, it came across more sinister than I was hoping.
XFM.
Colin the Tyler texted in to ask if I just said the following phrase. If you're appalled, this show is for you. I didn't. I might as well have. Paul, singular. Because this show, we have slowly come to realise, appeals mainly to men called Paul. Pauls seem to be everywhere. They pervade this show. They turn up in their droves. There was like four or five of them at Naked Breakfast before Christmas. And so we thought, well, we have to reflect this, you know? We have to embrace it. If we are going to be the only radio station in the UK currently serving the Paul demographic, breaking the big Paul stories, then we should make use of some of these Pauls. So we have a Paul on the line, don't we, Dave?
We do.
We don't know what he's going to say.
No.
All we know is we gave him the title of this feature, which is Pauls for Thought. So let's cross now live to a Paul. Paul, are you there?
I am, Danny, I am.
Hello, Paul. How are you this morning?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very well also. And how is it being a Paul these days?
It's fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Brotherhood is amassing many more as we speak.
Great. So the Brotherhood of Paul growing and thriving in 2012.
Oh, yeah.
Well, listen. Yeah, it is your year. It is your year. And we're going to be right here beside you. You move in packs, don't you? Little sets of gambaccinis. You move around.
We do. There's only ever a minimum of five of us in one go. Sometimes more, but it's always a minimum of five.
So a gambaccini has to be a minimum of five Pauls.
Yeah.
Excellent work. And when you go to your nests, what do you talk about?
The usual Paul conversation. A lot of it seems to be about plumbing, because there seems to be a lot of us that are plumbers.
Yeah, there are a lot of plumber Pauls that we deal with on the show. We've got Paul Bettany coming up on the show. Is there anything that other Pauls would want to know from a Paul like Paul Bettany?
Yeah, nothing I want to ask, but I would like to give you my lawnmower back. I lent it to him about 3 weeks ago.
Okay, good. Well, I'll mention that. Well, listen, let's do it. Let's get your thought from a Paul for all the other Pauls and non-Pauls. This is Pauls for Thought.
Right, well, when you're sitting in traffic and you're in your vehicle and you think you have a bit of privacy,
yeah.
Right? So you think, I know, you look around, you don't think anyone's looking at you, and you think, I'll have a quick pick. The old nose and that.
Yeah.
Now I'll men do. Try to remember, you have got windows that people can see through, and very pretty girls don't seem to appreciate that kind of stuff.
Pauls for thought, everybody. Pauls for thought. Paul, that was terrific. Thank you for kicking off this brand new feature on the show. The last word, as always, will remain with you, Paul. What is that word?
We are XFM.
Very nice. He's on message.
XFM.
Good morning, you're with the XFM Breakfast Show. My name's Danny Wallace, and he's here.
Yeah.
He is absolutely here. Describe the man in front of us, Matt.
He's one of the best actors this country's ever produced.
Certainly is.
I think we can all agree on that.
I think we have just agreed. Yeah. It's Paul Bettany, everybody. Yes. Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm incredibly well.
Paul is lying, because mere moments before we started talking, you were saying how tired you are.
I'm a little tired and emotional, yeah.
Emotional as well?
I think so. What's the jet lag?
I see.
I'm a little jet lagged.
Well, you should be. You've probably been jetting everywhere recently because of your new film, Margin Call. It's an excellent, excellent film.
I'm really glad. Thank you.
Let's give the backstory. You play Will Emerson.
Yeah.
And who is this man?
He's the head of a trading floor at an investment bank, and
it's better than it sounds, everybody.
And it's about the economic crash of 2008, and it takes the form of a thriller, and it follows this Zach Quinto, is this kid who sort of realizes that the formula that they've been using to make money is flawed, and that the ice is actually cracked underneath them, and it follows that realization up the chain of command, finally to Jeremy Irons and all the decisions that they make about how to destroy our world.
I think that your character in particular, you could take this character further, Paul Bettany. You know, I think there could be a spin-off. We do a thing on the show
called... A cable show.
Yeah, no, I'm talking big, I'm talking three extra, the whole bit with this guy. We do a thing on the show called Snap My Pitch Up, where when we have someone, you know, of your esteemed calibre on the show, you're obligated to sign up to a couple of projects that I'm producing. You do get a say in which one. But I just thought that with Hollywood being what it is, there are some roles that are fantastic for an actor to play. Spy would be one of them, Bounty Hunter, and also Senior Fixed Income Analyst. So I've taken the liberty of putting this together. All we need, you'll be doing my bits in this, and if you're up for it, we could get this going in the autumn.
Snap my pitch up. He acts as a technical expert within the performance analysis team for fixed income and derivative mandates.
Damn it, guys, I can't open this Excel document. Quickly, who's got Adobe Reader? Quickly!
Capable of production and analysis of both manually and system-generated monthly performance and attribution calculations.
Where's my calculator?
Providing an efficient and cost-effective service to internal and external clients and management on a timely basis and in accordance with agreed service levels.
Don't come to me with problems, Nigel. Come to me with solutions.
Ensuring appropriate controls and procedures are in place for all functions and keeping supporting documentation up to date.
What's up today?
Hello, IT. It's Microsoft Word 94. It's corrupted.
Don't make me come down there, Bobby. I will kick your shin and apologise.
Maintaining threshold competency status in line with FSA guidelines and reporting directly to the performance manager.
Hello, girls. Do you like a man who's good with numbers? Because that's what About Me is about.
From the makers of Client Data and Management Information Coordinator 2.
They call me the analyst, okay? On account of it being my actual legitimate job title.
Paul Bettany is...
I put my calculator down here. Where is it?
Senior Fixed Income Analyst.
That's twice this month.
This is about to get real.
So I don't know if you want to sign up now. You're in?
I'm in.
Paul Bettany is in, ladies and gentlemen.
XFM.
So we're all familiar with the bucket list, right?
Yeah.
Load of stuff you're supposed to do in your lifetime. What would be on your bucket list there, Matt?
I think to do a parachute jump.
Really?
Yeah.
Never mentioned that. Is that something you really want to do?
Well, I would like.
Because we can sort this out very quickly.
Yeah. Don't.
No. If you really want to do this, we can get onto this morning.
Something I'd like to do at some point. I'm not desperate to do it.
I've done that.
Have you?
Yeah. Okay. I've done skydive, parachute jump. Yeah.
Wow. Done. Boom. Bosh. Now, this isn't the bucket list. This is the potty list. This is a list of must do's for the under threes. Now, I want to know, Matt, if you've done all these things.
Okay.
Sing loudly in public.
Yes, definitely.
When was this?
Well, I've done it many a time.
What do you mean you've done it many times?
Well, drunk in pubs, singing loudly at the top of my voice.
Just on your own?
A gig. No, yeah.
Midday on a Friday.
At a gig as part of a crowd.
Okay, as part of a crowd, yeah. I think this is very much an individual thing. Climb a big hill?
Yes.
You've done that? Where was that?
Arthur's Seat, to name but one.
Edinburgh, to name but one. Look at him showing off. Yeah, I'm better than a three-year-old.
Yeah, I've done loads of them, mate.
Be chased by a monster.
I don't think I've done that.
Okay. Blow bubbles, I imagine you've done.
Yeah, of course.
Go on a train ride?
Yes, done that.
Tell me all about it.
It wasn't great fun. It was a Virgin train up to Staffordshire.
Right, okay. Yeah, just the one.
Just get a name but one.
That was the latest.
Grow creche in the shape of your name. When did you last do that? This is great for stories.
I haven't done that, but I do want to do that.
You've not done it?
I've grown some herbs in a little pot in my back garden.
Matt, by the end of the week, I want you to have grown some creche in the shape of your name and brought it in. Feed an animal. I imagine you've done that.
Yeah.
Wear pants on your head?
Yeah, I probably have done that, yeah.
Yeah, the same day you were singing Loudly in a Pub.
Yeah, in a moment of hijinks, yeah.
Yeah, this is either a checklist for toddlers or drunks.
Yeah.
Answer the phone.
Right, yeah.
Master a party piece? What's your party piece?
I can wiggle my ears. I couldn't do that when I was three, though, you know.
Well, it is a tough sell.
That's a big ask.
Buy something in a shop.
Oh, yeah, I've done that, yeah.
And finally, poo in the bath.
I did do that when I was younger, actually.
When you were younger.
My two brothers leaped out, they did.
Did they, yeah, indeed? Yeah. I'm not surprised.
Always gets brought up at family occasions. Like.
With picture evidence?
No.
Let's move on. But, you know, you are now the father of a young girl. She's a couple of months now. You are going to find out pretty shortly that you are not necessary for a while, you know? You're going to have conversations with little Bess.
Yeah.
Where it's all about the mum. My toddler, it's all about the mum right now.
Oh,
it's
right,
not, I'm an irrelevance. I'm just a clown. I'm just a joker. I'm just a big joke to this kid. And this footage has surfaced on YouTube of a dad having a similar crisis with his daughter.
Okay, last question. Think very carefully about this, okay? Who's your favourite, dad or mum? Okay, I didn't actually finish the question, darling. Repeat after me. Dad. Dad. Dad.
Dad.
Dad.
Dad.
Dad. Who's your favourite?
Mum.
Okay, let's try something different. Who's your least favourite?
Dad.
Mum. 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 All right, here we go. For the last time, who's your favourite?
All to come, all to come. Here's
a
great
story. Sounds like one of the conversations you have with your infants.
It really does.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet.
Hello, I'm Simon Pegg. I'm in here for Danny because Danny is currently out of the room separating two mating foxes who've become fused.
XFM. Here's a great story. Brilliant headline. It really should be leading the papers this morning. For some reason, it's not. Goat riding monkey. That's all it needs to say already, isn't it? It gets better. Unbelievably, it gets better. Goat riding monkey raids farm. And there's a picture here of, well, a goat riding monkey halfway through this farm raid. The monkey seems to be on the lookout. It's very just casting a glance around. The goat getting right into the cabbages. A Chinese farmer is claiming that a goat riding monkey keeps sneaking onto his land to steal his vegetables. The farmer says the animals are owned by a neighbouring circus. He claims the pair sneak into his field every day, eat a lot of vegetables and damage many others. He says, this has been going on for 2 weeks now. Since the acrobatic troop was first stationed here. Like a part of the army or something. We're going to put the acrobatic troop near the field. He says the clever monkey first stands on the goat's back to make sure the coast is clear before launching his raids. And the quote is, if the monkey sees that nobody's working in the field, he rides in on the goat and they start eating and causing trouble.
Wow.
Causing trouble is
they're
the great phrase there.
They're working together, these.
They are, they're properly working together. I like the idea of the causing trouble, though. You know, just knocking over bins and doing football chants and stuff. Monkeys are known for being cheeky, though, aren't they? That's what's happening here. This is an incredibly cheeky monkey. I want to know how they hatched this plan.
Yeah.
Whose idea was it?
Yeah, and how did he communicate it to the other animals?
Well, goats are quite wise, aren't they? It was probably the goat's idea, but the monkey, famously audacious.
Yeah.
You know, he just lives for the moment, doesn't he? The goat probably found that quite refreshing because he can see the consequences. The monkey's like, no, let's just do this, man. Just go. Live a little. It should be part of your potty list.
Yeah.
I want to see more animals pairing up for low-level crime. That's my wish for the morning. If I was going to do it, I would have a cow and a squid, okay? And the squid would attach itself to the underside of the cow, okay? So that anyone looking at the cow would just think, well, that cow's got sort of long udders, isn't it? It's just a normal thing. And yet, when the cow is walking through Tesco, right? He pays off Anthony Worrell Thompson to cause a distraction.
Counter, yeah,
right. And then the udders just extend and just pilfer small goods.
Nice.
Like that. Yeah. That would be the noise. and just probably, I don't know, it would have to somehow get it under between the udder and the squid. But that would be my low-level crime spree animal pairing. Have you got one?
I would use two different types of fish working together.
Clever.
You know, if bar.
It does, it will, it, before you go on, this will have to be an aquatic crime, won't it?
Yes, it will. It will be based around water.
Okay.
Say you're in a beach bar on holiday in the summer and they store loads of lager in those big bins of water.
Yeah.
I get a salmon and one of those little sucker fish, you know, the ones that take skin off people's
feet. Very good.
Put them together. Sucker fish grabs the beer bottle, the salmon puts the sucker fish in the mouth and leaps out into my pocket.
But you have to be involved in this crime because you've got to sneak these two
I'll
fish.
I'll train them up. Yeah, obviously. It'll take a while.
Yeah. You could just get a job and pay for the beer.
I mean,
it's take a long time in terms of training.
It'd be fun, though.
Phil, have you got a low-level crime animal pairing?
Horse and cat.
Horse and cat, the classic combo. What's going on there?
Well, you just use the cunning and litheness of the feline and the power, the raw equine
majesty.
Power of the horse.
Absolutely.
To combine. Haven't thought it through, but just those.
So there's no crime.
What you've done is you've just probably... It's probably the cat goes and steals all the fish because the cat likes the fish and then
he's
jumps on the horse.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
And then they gallop away with all the fish.
Okay, good. You didn't really think the crime through there, did you? You just heard two animals. What two animals would you have? And you just thought a horse and a cat.
Two favourite animals.
Dave, anything from you?
Yeah, I think a giraffe and a meerkat.
Oh, I can already see how this would be handy. Yeah
so, because as we've all thought in the past, I'd really like to nick some cooking apples. So what they could do is get to the tree and if people are watching, they're going to go, "Oh, that's crazy, there's a meerkat on the giraffe's head."
Yeah.
And they're not even going to be really watching the crime. And the meerkats, because they're crafty.
They are crafty.
They get the apples and nick them. Yeah. But it's also...
They extend themselves, don't they, as well, meerkats?
Their heads pop up.
So you can have the tallest animal in the world and then just a little bit taller.
Yeah, so you can get the better cooking apples.
I mean, the giraffe could just go to slightly shorter trees.
Yeah, but no, he needs the meerkat because he's the audacious one in this pairing. Yeah, okay. But then if they do get sent to jail, then the giraffe could help the meerkat escape by going up high next to the walls and just the meerkat could jump over the giraffes, you know.
We are like crime overlords, aren't we? This is extraordinary. We are our guest this morning is the marvellous Paul Bettany. Here he is.
Thank you very much.
Just signed up for the new film, Senior Fixed Income Analyst, produced by me. It's going to be exciting times.
I'm thrilled to be a part of this project.
I'm very, very pleased. There's something that we've come to realise on this show, I've been doing this show for about 6 months now, and have realised that most of our listeners tend to be called Paul. Every time we have a competition, a Paul seems to win it. The voice of the show for a while was a man we met on Leicester Square called the Amazing Paul. It's Paul, Paul. We are the only show, I think, truly serving the Paul demographic. And when we revealed that one of our more famous Pauls was going to be joining the show today, there was an influx of Paul-based questions from some of our Paul listeners. And I wonder if you'd mind answering some of their queries.
No, I'd love to speak to my people.
Good. Well, it's the Brotherhood of Paul. As you know, they tend to move around in sets.
Yes.
You nest in pairs. You wake up, the queen is there, you feed, and then you go out. It's like a gambaccini of Paul. So the first question is from Paul. And he wants to know about the first other Paul you ever met. Do you remember that? Must have been magic.
I've never met another Paul.
You've never met another Paul?
Mm-mm.
You're a rogue Paul.
I'm a rogue Paul.
You're a maverick Paul.
I really want to meet Paul Weller.
Ah.
But whenever I have had the opportunity, I've got too nervous because he's my hero Paul.
I see, not because he's just called Paul.
No, that's 50% of the reason.
Right, fair enough. I'm sure we can sort that out for you. This question is from, let me check, Paul. The best thing about being a Paul as we move further into the 21st century?
I'm gonna come out and really admit I loathe my name.
No! What? That you will not imagine the controversy and consternation this will cause amongst our listeners. 98% of our listeners are now turning off.
I'm so sorry, Pauls. But it's a little grey, Paul, isn't it? It's a little...
What?
Yeah.
This is like, this is absolutely unbelievable and unprecedented behaviour from any Paul we've ever spoken to.
I'm sorry, I loathe my name. There's something just dull about Paul. Paul. It's just awful.
There's no way we can... Like, are we still on air? It's like, this. I'm amazed we haven't been taken off air by now. Well, that kind of puts paid to much of the other questions. I mean, Paul wanted to know. I'd like to know if Paul's ever been surprised by another Paul. For example, met a Paul in an unexpected place, as I did in the Gordon Ramsay restaurant in Terminal 5 in 2009. That's out the window, because you've never met another Paul. This one is more relevant. Paul wants to know, if you weren't a Paul, what would you be?
I'd be a Sebastian.
Really?
No.
No, that's so much worse.
Yeah.
Oh, Paul, this is terrible. And finally, would you support a change in the word appalling? As Paul says, he believes this creates a negative feeling towards Pauls.
I've already got a negative feeling about Paul. And it's Paulsy, really.
Really?
Yeah, I just loathe Paul.
Paul, you better get out of the building pretty quickly.
Yeah. Sorry to have ruined, you know, your show.
The Brotherhood is not going to be happy.
They're going to be gathering.
They're going to be gathering in their gambaccinis.
Let's be clear, none of you are called Paul, right?
No, not yet.
You don't know what it's like to shoulder this burden. So, you know, I'm really done talking about it. And I feel like I've really opened up to you on the show about my feelings surrounding my name and all I've, you know, you've just been derisive, really.
We will try and bring it back. Paul Bettany, Sebastian Bettany,
yes,
thank you very much indeed.
That is worse, you're right. Sorry, Sebastians, if there's, you know, any...
This show does not appeal to Sebastians.
No, I can tell that.
We got to start a zoo. We've got to start a zoo. You know, like a crime training animal based centre.
Yeah.
Can you get on that this morning?
Set it up on an island. Get a big boat.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a gangster Noah.
We're going to need an aquatic area. We're definitely going to need a kangaroo area. Yeah. Kangaroo is very popular this morning.
Yeah, they are.
Going to need an aviary as well. Yeah. I don't know how we're going to do the show, because this is going to take up a lot of time. Matt, why don't you give me some low-level animal crime spree pairings?
Here's a good one from Mark in Essex. A ferret and an owl. The ferret is a master pickpocket, of course, and the owl would be a great lookout.
Yes.
Until it ate the ferret.
Absolutely. So we need... What do we need? An owl and a...
Owl and a ferret.
An owl and a ferret. Luke in Ryslip says, I think a frog... on board a chimp. The chimp could, in fact, let's talk to Luke. Luke, are you there?
I am.
Now, Luke, why don't you tell me about this frog-based chimp plan you've got going on?
I think the frog should ride on board the chimp, and the chimp could then dress in, as a human being while everyone was distracted by his suit's qualities, and they might think it's a hairy old lady.
Yes.
The frog could stealthily snaffle some goods with its lightning-fast tongue.
Absolutely. Wow. So we've got a hairy old lady... just walking down the street. Yep. It's a chimp.
Which is not uncommon.
Not uncommon. And where is the frog at this point?
I think hiding somewhere in the shoulder, perhaps underneath the wig.
Okay, so the upper shoulder or lower head area.
Upper shoulder, yeah.
And the tongue just sort of jabs out.
No one would see it.
No one would see it. Listen, I'm going to leave this with you, Luke, because I think this is terrific. Okay. You're on board the team. Get yourself a frog and a chimp.
Okay.
Meet us at the... where is this place? We'll let you know, Luke, basically. We'll probably do in the Ryslip area to make it convenient to you.
Right. Why not, yeah.
What else is going on?
Yeah.
Will in Lowestoft says, a monkey and a hamster. The monkey would carry the hamster round in the dead of night, posting the hamster through letterboxes to find car keys and then bring them back out. A monkey could easily train itself to drive a car. They can use typewriters. Absolutely good. It's asking a lot of this chimp to train himself in the art of automobile movement.
An elephant and a bunny together. The elephant causes the distraction. The bunny hops out from under him and steals all the Haribo.
All the Haribo. Good. It's a very specific crime.
A
guinea pig and a panda. They could do anything. They could rob a bank, and if they get caught, they can both just look cute and totally get away with it. Joe from Dartford says an armadillo and an eagle. The eagle could drop the armadillo through the roofs of armadillo trucks, store the loot, then the eagle could fly them to Brazil or something. to live their lives out on a beach drinking cocktails. I think this is actually Joe's retirement plan. That's what's happening there. Tiger and a lemur for bank jobs. The tiger would terrify everyone into submission while the lemur does the robbing. When the cops turn up, the lemur can do its classic style of running sideways with its hands above its head, which will fool the rozzers into believing they are surrendering whilst they make a crafty getaway. That's Helen, the crime genius from High Wycombe, now, of course, a confirmed listener. Roy, what is your crime plan?
I definitely have a rhino and a pelican because they're damn perfect for ram raiding.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's been a few ram raiding suggestions this morning. It's a little disturbing. Matthew in Chiswick says, I'd get a flock of starlings to fly into a shop and steal packets of Angel Delight and pints of milk. They would then empty them into a waiting kangaroo's pouch. By the time she hopped back to me, I would have a perfectly mixed dessert.
Yeah.
That's something I can get on board with. Thank you so much for your low-level animal crime spree pairings, a sentence I have never said and will indeed never, ever say again.
XFM.
With Mini. Makes sense. To see why, search Mini Offers.
So, Matt, we're going to do Quiz Face.
Yes.
We're going to do Quiz Face now. Nearly didn't happen this week. You know, because of the, you know, I'm getting a few things done in the house while I was getting that shower put in.
Still haven't finished that?
No, still not finished. So,
ridiculous.
It's been taking quite a while, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's been all right. You know, I still get to work and I still, but it's weighing on my mind, you know.
Mm.
As long as it doesn't affect my work, that's the important thing. That's what I've been saying all along. As long as it doesn't affect my work, this builder stuff. For those reasons, though, I nearly didn't write Quizface this week. It's important, you know, to get these things done. But I have. Builder issues aside, it won't affect me. So let's talk to Coral. Coral, are you there?
Hi, yes, I am.
Hi, Coral. So you're going to play Quizface, the Quizface that nearly didn't happen because of all the stuff that's been going on. I won't let it affect my work, though, Coral. Are you ready to play? I'm not going to explain the rules. You should know the rules by now.
I do.
Excellent work. If you're ready, then, let's get quizzical.
Quilda.
Coral, it's just over 1 month ago. You are Jeff, the builder I employed recently to install a small and simple shower in my bathroom. Why is everyone looking at it? It's not going to affect my work. It's fine. Now, Jeff, this is a small and simple job, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Yeah, yeah. It's good to hear, Jeff. Yeah. How long do you think this will take, please, Jeff?
Oh, not very long. Probably.
Yeah, not long.
Today.
Yeah, fine. It sounds good. How much will this cost me, Jeff? Will this cost a lot or not very much?
Not very much.
Great. That's very reasonable. Thank you, Jeff. One last thing, Jeff. Will you be undertaking this work personally, or will you be outsourcing this once the deal is done?
I might be getting some people in to help me.
Right, okay. But generally, you'll be there, yeah?
Yeah, great. I'll be around.
Jeff, this is all coming together nicely. This sounds great. You've sealed the deal.
Deal sealer.
So, remember now, Jeff, it's now your job to double or even triple the cost of this process while at no point turning up to undertake the work yourself. Am I clear?
Yeah.
Then let's play Excuse Me.
Excuse Me.
Jeff, it's Danny on the phone. It's me. Jeff, can you come round and begin work, please?
Yeah, I've just got a couple of things to sort out.
Yeah, well, you haven't. That's 2 days in a row. Come up with an excuse.
Well, I just had to take my car into the garage.
Right.
I'll get on later.
Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff. You just exploded. That's a real shame. Jeff, it's Danny on the phone. Who are Vlad and Mikkel? Why are they here in your place? Quickly, explain the Polish men who've turned up unannounced.
I just sent them along to...
Oh, really?
I'm just
Look at that. Look at that, Jeff. You've been attacked by 1,000 tiny monkeys who are beating you around the head and neck, Jeff. They're attacking you. They're attacking your silly builder face. Silly. Silly.
Are you all right, Danny?
I'm fine. I'm not... This...
It seems to be affecting
you. It's not affecting my work. Just move on.
Excuse.
Well done, Jeff. You win for now. You win a new SIM card, meaning you can now ignore my calls. It's time for role reversal.
Role reversal.
Jeff, I've now outsourced my role on Quizface to Philippos, a Greek man who'll now take over this part of the quiz with no warning whatsoever.
Γεια σας, καλημέρα. Μου αρέσει πάρα πολύ ζάχαρη στο τσάι μου. Εντάξει, με θέλετε για 5 λεπτά από τις 6 θα είμαι στο τηλέφωνο, αλλά δεν θα μπορώ να κάνω άλλο quiz, γιατί θα είμαι σε κίνηση στο M25. Αλλά μετά, όταν με πάρεις από withheld number, θα με ακούσεις ότι είμαι στο pub. Αλλά εγώ θα σου πω ότι είναι ένα service station. Εντάξει, 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 εντάξει.
Okay, good. Now, to win Quizface and to complete my bathroom, simply complete the following phrase.
Εμείς είμαστε...
XFM.
She's done!
Oh, my Lord!
Yay!
You pulled it back. It's great.
It's absolutely great.
Hasn't affected my work. Hasn't affected my work. Okay. I imagine there'll be meetings after this. You're all witnesses. Did not affect my work.
XFM.
A man called 999 because he wanted some help from the police taking off his wedding ring so that he could throw it at his wife. Ambulance staff were called by a man who wanted help getting his wedding ring off his finger so he could hurl it at his wife during a row. That's amazing, isn't it? There's other calls, 999 calls, asking for lifts home because of a popped spot. Someone wanted help changing a light bulb. Someone else wanted assistance finding a lost television remote. One crew arrived at the home of a patient in their 60s only to be asked to fetch a pack of cigarettes. And a paramedic is on record here saying people don't have much self-reliance. They think they can call 999 for whatever reason. Well, look, you know, as far as I'm concerned, we have to stop this happening, everybody. You know, calling 999 for no reason, even just for one morning. So I want to ask, what are your rubbish emergencies this morning? What do you need help with? Do not dial 999. Text 83936 instead, and we will do our best to help you. This is very much our public service sort of broadcasting thing that we're doing this morning. What are your rubbish emergencies? Let's set the scene. Emergency. Emergency. Matt, what is your emergency this morning?
Emergency. The white bag used for plastic recycling outside my house has disappeared again. It goes every time the bin men come. I suspect my neighbour of stealing it.
Right, okay. Emergency and an unfounded accusation in one. Phil, emergency.
Emergency. I'm the postcode king, but I can't remember whether Chingford is E4 or
E6. Oh! That is an emergency. I've got an emergency. Emergency, there are no mugs in the kitchenette. Repeat, no mugs in the kitchenette. Not even that one that looks like it's sort of had paint stripper poured over it. You know, the one that no one wants to use, sort of the weird one. We need our own XFM Breakfast Show mugs, not just so we can imbibe caffeine in the morning, but so our confirmed listeners can feel even closer to their boutique award-nominated breakfast show. We will get on that. Emergency, Dave?
Emergency. Emergency. I believe program associate Steve may have used sweetener in my coffee instead of sugar.
We will bring you more updates on all these stories and more.
XFM.
We have come to represent the Paul demographic. We are the number one station for all your Paul needs. Yes. Many of our listeners are called Paul. It's Paul the teacher. Are you there?
I am indeed, Danny.
How are you, Paul the teacher?
I am fantastic this morning. How are you, sir?
Very well also. Have you been checking, I don't know, paul.com to find out the Paul news? What's happening in the Paul world?
Paul world is moving on nicely. The Brotherhood gathering their forces and we are, you know, going from strength to strength.
Excellent. Absolutely. Well, that's good to know. So shall we do this morning's Paul's for Thought?
Let's. When you are under a thin duvet in life, do not pretend your toes are made for mice for a cat.
Paul's for Thought there.
We are...
It's time. It's time, Phil. It's time to test your knowledge. This proud boast of yours that you said from day one to me. You said, I can do all the postcodes.
I know all the postcodes.
Straight in, it was almost like, hi, I'm Phil, I do sport, I know all the postcodes. It was almost like that, that first day.
Well, that's basically it. That's me. I do the sport, and I know the postcodes.
That's me in a nutshell. Yeah. Well, I thought this was a unique skill, until we heard from Faye yesterday. Confirm, listener, Faye, are you there?
Hi,
Faye. Now, you are also a postcode nerd.
Kind of. I'm an East postcode nerd.
An East postcode nerd. So you're very familiar with the East Quadrant of London, is that right?
Yes.
Excellent. And you used to work for Royal Mail.
Yeah.
And your partner said that you sometimes used to shout out postcodes in your sleep.
at the time, obviously not my partner anymore.
So what would you be doing? You'd just be give us a gentle snore, like a kitten. That's how I imagine you snore, and then just wake yourself up with a postcode. Go on.
Oh,
right, okay, good. I didn't hear that one, but give us some trash talking, please, Phil.
Ooh, you only know 18 postcodes, Faye. There's only 18 in East London. I know all of them. I'm taking you down, Faye.
Well, there are 18 postcodes, but there are, within that, there are subcategories of postcode for different areas. So, Faye, some trash talking back at Phil, please.
Phil, I've got better things to do.
Right, here we go. It's first of five. The first one I'm going to give to Phil. E10.
Leighton.
I will accept Leighton. Yes, you could also have had Temple Mills, Hackney Marshes, Upper Clapton. Faye, over to you. E15.
Stafford.
You're saying Stratford. You're absolutely correct. Yes, could also have had West Ham. Leighton.
Easy.
Back to you, Phil. E20.
That's the new one.
Oh,
it's the Olympic Park.
Yes, you are right. Olympic Park, Stratford. Well done, well done. Back to you, Faye. E1W.
Well, E1 is Aldgate, so it's E1 West, so towards the city.
I need, well, I can pass it over to you, Phil.
Whitechapel.
Is incorrect also. Wapping. I was looking for Wapping. Let's reverse it now. I'm going to give you the name of the place. This is for your final question. Phil, Homerton.
E8
is incorrect, sir. It's E9. That means you're evens. If you get this right, you'll be tying with Phil. E16?
Custom House. Royal Dockside.
Custom House is correct. That means you're evens. That means I'm going to go to a tie break. I'm going to shout out the name of the place. The first person to give me the postcode will win. London Gas Museum.
What? That's not an area.
It is.
That's not an area. We're East London.
It's E3, so I'm going to do one more. Temple Mills.
E9. E8.
What?
E10.
Phil is correct, everybody. Phil is correct.
XFM.
Quilda.
I just won Quiz Face using my skill, judgment, telephone and ears. Playing a builder being punched by 1,000 monkeys is something I wish I could do for real. I'm off down London Zoo. Come on, monkeys, I'll take you all on.
We are XFM.
Emergency. Another emergency. Lots of emergencies coming in this morning. It's what we've asked you for. Emergency, he says. My yoghurt pot split open in my bag. Still managed to lick the lid of life, though. Nice. Someone says emergency. I think I left a spoon in the fork compartment of the cutlery drawer.
Oh, no.
I'm glad that's not gone to 999. Catherine on the M25 says, I just ran over a bird. Now I'm going to be sad all day. But let's do the top five emergencies this morning.
At number five.
Matt.
Confirm listener, Nat. Emergency. I've eaten my lunch already.
Oh, Matt. Oh, it's only 7:32. That's an emergency. What's at number four?
Emergency. The light's gone out in my girlfriend's bathroom while she's washing.
Oh, man. That is an emergency. She's just washing in the dark, Matt.
Oh,
anything could happen. What's at number three?
Emergency from Rachel. I know the council take Christmas trees, but my one comes in a pot.
Oh.
Do they take ones in pots?
Man, that is an emergency.
We need to find out.
Well, actually, we should find that out. That's actually a public service again. Dave, can we find that out? We will find that out.
We'll look into that,
What is at number two?
At
well,
number
I can tell
two.
You. Oh, hello, she's back. Teacher Matt from Thurrock says, emergency, I'm out of aftershave and I've just had a shave. The only aftershave I have is a cheap fake aftershave that I got from a pupil of mine a few years ago, and it actually smells a little like urine. That's a big emergency. This teacher's going to go to work this morning smelling of not aftershave. What's at number one?
And the number one thing you told us that we didn't know in today's Tell Us Something That We Don't Know is...
John, what is your emergency?
Emergency. I've put my foot in a puddle of dog wee and I'm wearing my woolen socks.
Man!
No!
Man! God, the top emergencies, they're very much urine-based.
Yeah, we'll get some people to ring them out. We'll send them round.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to find out, though, about the pots. You know, that's a big emergency.
I'd say definite no.
Would you?
I'll keep the pot.
You've got literally no knowledge or background in this at all.
Next year, I've got Christmas tree knowledge.
She's not asking you. She's not going, oh, does Matt know specifically the
it's
pot
like
policy?
They're not going to recycle the pot, are they? They just recycle the tree.
Right. Okay, well, I hope that answers your question, Rachel. Not really a fact, more just the opinion of a random man in the studio.
We are the greatest goddamn radio station on the planet. XFM.
There's a crime story in from America, and it's a gentleman who was arrested over the weekend for what he was carrying with him. That's not what the story's about. It's what happened when he had to give his name, and this is his actual name. Mm. Do you want to know what his name is?
Yes.
Have a guess what his name is.
Bob Smith.
No. Guess again. We're going to go through every name. His name is Bizao Dudu Zoppity Bop Bop Bop. That's his name. Bizao Dudu Zoppity Bop Bop Bop. Zoppity Bop 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 was born Jeffrey Drew Wilshka, according to court records. He legally changed his name to Bizao Dudu Zoppity Bop 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 back in October. They've looked up his Facebook account. When he's not in trouble with the law, he enjoys activities including eating, standing, walking, thinking, and the slightly inexplicable diamond. Don't know what that means. And he's single as well, in case anyone's interested.
Interesting hobbies.
Yeah. Police say that when they took Zoppity Bop 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 into custody, they found him in possession of marijuana. No way. Would never have thought Zoppity Bop 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 was into that little world.
XFM. Hello, I'm Greg Davis. I'm just filling in briefly for Danny because I'm afraid he's had to leave the studio. I'm not sure because I'm not medically trained, but I think he's had a prolapse.
XFM. Can't get over this this tiny frog. It's not a sentence I've ever said before. It's just tiny. It's the size of a 5-pence piece. The world's tiniest frog. It's really, really small. The smallest of the world's 60,000 vertebrates. Been found by some scientists sitting there on a leaf. Bold as brass. The arrogant frog.
Yeah.
I think more frogs should be tiny, you know? Just
really?
More pocket-sized frogs. Yeah. Not even pocket-sized. The pocket within a pocket. You can pop a frog in the pocket within a pocket.
Well, I think when it comes to frogs, the bigger, the better, really.
Talking out your nonsense.
Yeah, like, you might if they're so small, you're going to tread on them.
You're talking out of your nonsense.
And if you could have a bigger frog, you could, like... Imagine if they were like the size of dogs or small horses, you could ride them around.
Are you high? What are you talking about?
Well, the bigger the frog, the better.
No, when it comes to frogs, you want small. You want small is better. Small is beautiful when it comes to... What you're doing is you're talking a load of bull rubbish.
No, I'm thinking like...
Load of bull rubbish.
Come on. I think it's getting a little bit too serious.
You know nothing about frogs.
No, come on. I think we all know a little bit about frogs.
You specifically know nothing about frogs. That's one of the things I noticed about you. From day one, I had you marked out. I walked in, they went, this is Dave. I was like, yeah, frogless wonder, this guy.
No. Danny, to be frank. Okay.
Somebody's being frank.
There you go.
Somebody's being frank.
There you go. Text it now.
Somebody's being frank.
So that turned into a very frank discussion, didn't it?
Yeah.
Very frank. A frank exchange of views, I think they would call it, in terms of our amphibian cousins. Let's choose a winner. Who will it be? That was the sound of Phil opening a sandwich container. That's ruining the tension I was carefully building up. Let's make it even more tense. Any other sound effects you want to do? Let's go. To line three, Nick.
Yay!
Nick.
Hello.
I've just been handed a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Wow, this is good. Just been handed a piece of paper, Nick, saying you're very keen on winning this, but you don't actually know. You entered this competition without knowing what the prize was.
That's kind of correct. I turned the radio on at the point that you were saying text into 83936 the word Frank when somebody says I'm being Frank. So I did that.
You've won. Top work, my friend. You've won an all expenses paid trip to Chepstow Ink Museum. and the chance to
meet, that's just what I was looking for.
And the chance to meet Blazing Squad.
Fantastic.
We'll also throw in two standard class tickets off peak for you and a friend to head to Chepstow Ink Museum and hang out with the Blazing Squad gang. What's your reaction?
Well, you know, I'm stunned. I'm overwhelmed, even.
Great. Also, we're going to invite you to come down here on Tuesday to see Frank Turner performing live for our next early session live from Leicester Square. We're going to make this tense for you, Nick.
Right.
Would you rather come down here and hang out on the show, meet Frank Turner? Would you rather take the trip to Chepstow Ink Museum with Blazing Squad?
Well, gosh, it's a close one. I'm going to come to London!
XFM.
First there was Fence Factor, wasn't there? Now, Nativity Factor. A Devon Vicar, who produced a beatbox version of the Nativity, has won a national competition. This is the fella, it's Gavin Tight, who's a vicar. Let's have a listen.
Back in the day of Caesar Augustus, he decreed to proceed with an empirical census. The first Barcarinius was the Syrian nexus. Doing this, Danesis, people get on their necks.
That's enough of that.
Rich loves it.
You really do love it. Yeah. You know, I wish you were in charge of all broadcasting, Rich, because that to me sounds like the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air doing the new intro for Songs of Praise. I think that would be brilliant. Just back in the days of Caesar Augustus, yeah, shooting b-balls and getting into whatever it was. That's terrific. We'll try and get him on the line at some point. He'd make a good guest too, although I have just undermined the feature.
Yes,
by,
you have.
By guessing it already.
We are XFM.
Tell you what I've learnt. After you.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. We arrived in the studio this morning to find out the sad news that our jam supplies have been obliterated.
Yeah.
A victim of the store cupboard clearances that happened at Global Radio yesterday afternoon. No sauce sachets, no tea, no sugar, all banned substances, according to a rumoured checklist of things outlawed from studio cupboards under health and safety grounds.
I never saw this, did you? I never saw this checklist.
No.
There's no warning. Where's all our jam gone?
It's all gone.
All our jam is gone. Royston, if you're listening, we want our jam back. We want to do a Harvest Festival in the studio. Dave, your learnings.
Yes, although it's Tuesday, a plethora of £5 flat fee fines were issued today.
Right.
One for Vicky saying amazeballs, and one for me saying Moby instead of mobile phone. With the latter, I feel, being a little bit harsh, although I will, of course, still pay.
Ka-ching. Matt Dyson's increased workload means that at random important moments of the show, he'll suddenly leap out of his chair and rush out of the studio shouting something about Capital Gold. This makes him seem important and stressed, or at least I thought it did, until I followed him out of the studio and saw him just standing near a man's desk, having a chuckle. The guilt on Matt Dyson's face was amazing as he became the boy who cried gold. Which sounds like a Channel 4 documentary, doesn't it? The boy who cried gold. He'd always be trying to upset him, I imagine. He wouldn't get sleep in his eyes. He'd just wake up with pound coins.
We are...
Well, there you go. That was podcast number 21. Number 22... Number 23. Join us next week for number 22, 23, 24. I really need a system.
Yes, we are XFM.
Danny Wallace.
With Mini. Makes sense. To see why, search Mini Offers.